Thank you are the first words I say today to all of you who have come to surround Marjorie's family this afternoon, to be present with them as they grieve their loss, but more importantly, as they celebrate the promises that are ours in Christ for resurrection. This, as often is the case here at Mount Cross, is a service in two parts. Part one here in the sanctuary. After we conclude here in the church, you're invited across the patio to the room next to the playground for the reception served by our Helping Hands ministry. And the stories that you will continue to share with each other, and especially with the family, are an equally holy part of this afternoon. And so I say welcome in the name of Jesus, Savior of the world. We are gathered here to worship, to proclaim Christ crucified and risen, to remember before God our sister Marjorie, to give thanks for her life, to commend her to our merciful Redeemer, and to comfort one another in our grief. When she was baptized into the death and resurrection of Jesus, God made a promise that actually predates everything. And St. Paul echoes that promise when he writes, "When we were baptized in Christ Jesus, we were baptized into his death. We were buried, therefore, by baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." I invite you to reach for a red book in front of you and turn to hymn number 592, "Just As I Am," and I invite you to stand as we sing. Knowing that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit are with us, let us pray. God of grace and glory, we remember before you today our sister, Marjorie Jean. We thank you for giving her to us to know and to love as a companion in our pilgrimage on earth. In your boundless compassion, console us who mourn. Give us faith to see that death has been swallowed up in the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ, so that we may live in confidence and hope until by your call we are gathered to our heavenly home in the company of all your saints, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Back in 2001, here at Mount Cross, we spent the summer going through all 150 Psalms. We read two or three of them during the worship service each Sunday, and we had a little assignment for reading the others all through the summer, from beginning to end. And we also, during that summer, asked people to share in our newsletter their thoughts about what was their favorite song. And before Matt reads, I'm going to share what Marjorie wrote in our newsletter about the 121st Psalm. She writes, "When I was in the fourth grade, I was assigned the 121st Psalm to memorize. That was in a public school, no less. How times have changed. This was the King James Version, which to me seems to enhance the beauty of the psalmist's words of trust in the Lord. It was many years before I thought much about it, but now I bless the teacher who gave me these beautiful yet powerful words to cling to when I most need them." Matt.
Psalm 121. "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, and even for evermore."
There are places in our scriptures which indicate that our stories are already written in God's book, God's book of life. Marjorie's name was inked into that book of life the day of her baptism, but God's had her name in that book a long time. But if we have an entry in God's heavenly book of life, I'm also persuaded that our stories are written in an earthly book of life. Sometimes it gets written down, and I think I spotted a version of that in the other room that you can see. That's remarkable. But even if it never gets written on paper, that story is treasured here and in here, in memories, in our hearts. And those are the times we shared with whoever it is, in this case Marjorie, where we shared her joys, her sorrows, her victories, her setbacks. And I'm going to call on Scott right now to begin to give voice to some of what's in her book of life.
Thank you, Pastor John. Good afternoon. And on behalf of our family, we thank you for taking the time to be here as we worship our Lord and remember the earthly life he gave to Marjorie Jean Brinkley Brown, a life that continues with him now in heaven. My name is Scott Brown. I'm the younger of Marjorie's two sons. My brother Jeff and his gracious wife Marguerite have done so much to prepare for this day and have taken such great care of Mom since she moved to Camarillo in 1988. Thank you, Jeff and Maggie, for being Mom's primary caretakers for so many years. You helped her with things around the house. You moved her from Sylmar to Camarillo Springs to Almavia for assisted living. You've gone with her to 1,000 doctor's appointments. You have fixed her TV remote control unknown numbers of times. And you have cared for her around the clock, along with all of our family, for the last few months of her life. There's a short summary of Mom's life in the bulletin, and I'm not going to repeat details that are already written for you there. I'm just going to include a couple of things about her faith and a couple of short stories about her family. First of all, about her faith. If you met her when she was grown up, you might have assumed that she had been raised in the Christian faith all of her life. And I had kind of assumed that until I actually asked her the story this last year. Turns out she wasn't raised in the faith. And it turns out she sort of experimented with Christian Science when she was in college. But after Jeff was born, Jeff was invited by a friend to Sunday school. And apparently he liked it so much that he nagged and wheedled and cajoled and begged Mom to go to church. And Mom went to church. And she found in the Lutheran expression of the Christian faith, she found that connected her heart and her head, her emotion and her intellect, both faith and reason. Well, we became members of Olivet Lutheran Church in Los Angeles, and in 1964, we moved to the San Fernando Valley to Sylmar, and we became early members of Lutheran Church of the Master in Sylmar, California. And thank you to so many Sylmar folks who are here to be with us today. It's a long drive for so many of you. Thank you so much for being here. Well, so we were there for a long time, and you know, long after Jeff and I had moved on and moved out, there was Mom, still faithful in weekly worship. She taught Sunday school. She sang alto in the church choir. She was president of the church council. She was part of Stephen Ministries. We appreciate our Sylmar friends for all of your friendship through the years. In 1988, at Jeff and Maggie's kind urging, imagine ladies asking if you could move your husband's mother closer to you. Well, Jeff and Maggie's kind urging, she moved here to Camarillo, and very quickly she found Mount Cross. Same song, second verse. She was singing alto in the choir. She was president of the board of directors. She was on the preschool board. Gregory and Patrick went through the preschool program here at Mount Cross, and she was also a member of Stephen Ministers. So Pastor John, thank you for your fellowship with her. And Mount Cross family, thank you so much for your kindness to Mom. Even after she was hesitant to come to church and after she was not mobile, so many of you visited her at her Camarillo Springs home and at Alma Villa. So thank you so much for continuing to be in fellowship with her. So now a couple of family stories. Mom was the youngest of three kids. Her older sister, Aunt Mary, passed away in 2002. And Mom felt always very close and wanted to stay connected to her nieces and to her nephew. And as a result, you know, Cherry and Karen and Nancy and Bob, thank you for allowing and encouraging this ongoing connection with your aunt after your mother was gone and after you were off all grown and raising your families. Thank you for staying in fellowship with Mom. For Cherry and for Nancy and for Karen, it's a lot of long drives and a lot of kind letters and notes and a lot of phone calls. Thank you for staying in fellowship with Mom through the years. Well, every parent believes that nobody is good enough to marry their children. However, Mom dearly loved and fully appreciated and daily prayed for both of her daughters-in-law, Marguerite and Lori. She dearly loved and daily prayed for all five of her grandchildren, Caitlin, Gregory, Patrick, Matthew, and Stephen. And as Jeff and I raised our own families, Mom was always positive, always helpful, always loving, never jealous and intrusive, and always willing to give great advice, but not until we asked her. She was never intrusive. Well, Mom was married for 22 years. At USC, she met our father, Harry, and they fell in love, and they married pretty quickly, and a couple of years later, Jeff showed up, and a few years later, I showed up. They were married for 22 years, and long after that marriage ended and through all of my dad's subsequent adventures, Mom always made sure that Jeff and I never harbored any ill will towards our father. She always wanted, you know, whatever was going on between them, she always wanted to make sure that Jeff and I remained in fellowship with our dad. And long, you know, through all of his adventures, and he finally passed away in 1999, she continued to make sure that Dad was invited to every family event. And it was just as likely as not at those family events, Mom and Dad would end up sitting side by side, talking and laughing, like the friends that they had been. And that was just another part of Mom's grace and Mom's forgiveness. They were married 22 years. She continued to bless his life for another 27 years after that until he passed away in 1999. Mom treasured every part of her life, but I think if she could go back to one point in her life, I think she'd like to be the beautiful platinum blonde sorority girl driving her dad's convertible Oldsmobile to the Delta Zeta house on Sorority Row at USC. Well, at the end of this service, we invite you over next door to the fellowship hall for some goodies, and thank you so much for the helping hands for putting together the goodies for us today. Jeff and Maggie have put together a slideshow next door, which includes pictures of Mom when she was young, and I think you will enjoy looking at those pictures as you join us. So, love and faith, quiet strength, grace, forgiveness, and a great sense of humor are traits that we love in our mom. And we now celebrate her eternal and perfect life in heaven with our Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you very much.
That's a tough act to follow, but the family invited me to invite anyone else who'd like to share a story about their connection with Marjorie to step forward and do so. All right, Arlene's got one.
Hi, I'm Arlene Proctor, member of Mount Cross here, and I remember when Marjorie came, I believe you said it was 1988. A few years later, my husband and I had a prayer group here at Mount Cross on Saturday morning at 8 o'clock. Now, usually when you work, which we did at that time, it was kind of early, but we made it, and Marjorie was one of the group that came, and we would take turns having a devotion, and if I remember anything, it was the inspirational devotions that Marjorie, she had a little black book. It wasn't very big, but I remember she had that, and she'd open it up to a page, and just the way she read it, it was something you couldn't forget. Chuck and I would discuss it after on the way home, and I can honestly say that's something I remember more. I didn't know her other than through Mount Cross, but that's something I really thank Marjorie for, and I hope someone finds that little book and uses it, because it would add so much to your life. And then reading about Marjorie, it's exactly as I pictured her when I sat down and read it.
I was in a few groups with Marjorie. She was in the women's Welka group that we had for a while. I was in a Bible study with a whole bunch of some of the older women, which was really fun because they thought I was just a kid in comparison. But she was always so good. And then, of course, we were in the choir together for as many years as she was in it until she couldn't make it up the stairs anymore. But one of the last things she did, which was so sweet, some years back, she found a bunch of pictures taken at one of our choir parties, and she had them all developed, and she made books, you know, notebooks for every person that was in that group. She brought them up to my house, and she said, "Here, you take them and give them out to all the people for me." And so I should have thought to have brought that. I didn't. You have it over there? I forgot about it until just this moment. So anyway, we loved her. She was such a sweet lady. And, you know, we had Hickory House. It was one of our projects every year, this home in town. And you probably know that. But that she was the first one would always call me, even up until just a year or two ago. She wanted to make sure that her money, that she was going to buy a gift for one of those people out there, and she gave me $50 this last year, which we asked for 10, and she gave me a check for 50, and because she wanted to make sure that they had a good Christmas. So anyway, we'll all miss her.
I'm Caitlin. I'm Marjorie's eldest granddaughter, and I spoke to my cousins and my second cousins once removed, that Scott was referring to, that we did such a great job of staying in touch with before, to prepare for this a little bit, and we just had the most lovely, loving grandmother who was so supportive. That's what my cousin Kristen can't be here today, but she wrote from Pennsylvania to say that she just remembered how supportive our grandmother was for us, which was key in our lives, and how when she was nervous before a major job interview, it was my grandmother's support. She was staying with her the night before, who really got her through that day. My brother mentioned something similar. He's studying to be a nurse, and Grandma was always there with all of her stories about the great nurses that she encountered and how excited she was for my brother to do that. And I remember that sort of love and support from her, too. She was always there for us, and she always had a lovely sense of humor. She always had jokes, even when my husband and I were visiting her at the hospital just a few months ago. She greeted us with just loving, gentle jokes just to make the mood a little lighter, let us know everything was okay. So we miss her, and we love her very much, and she was a wonderful, wonderful grandma.
A reading from the Gospel of Luke. First chapter. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great. He will be called Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." I'm almost positive I've never read that passage at a memorial service before. And it may seem strange to read it on a day like this. Please don't imply that I'm suggesting that in either case there was an immaculate conception involved. Nor did either one of the boys were destined to be messiahs. None of that. I chose it because in the face of all the wondrous and really unbelievable things that the angel delivered to Mary from God, that she was going to be and do, to all of it, she said, yes. And that's where I find the point of connection. Because like the mother of our Lord, Marjorie said yes. She said yes in so many different directions of her life, in so many different ways. For example, she said yes to school. Now, when I read that she had to ride a donkey to get to school in the Ozarks, I can imagine during the Depression, a number of kids would have said, "I'll pass, I'll just work on the fields. How many truant officers can there be out in the Ozarks anyway, you know?" But no, she went. And she continued to say yes to education, all the way through a bachelor's up to a master's degree. Then in her life, she said yes to being a mother. And look what happened. Right back. You guys are the nucleus of her life. I cannot think of a time when I went to visit that she wasn't all aglow about all of you in different ways, every single time. One story or another, every time. You were the beautiful result of her saying yes to being a mother. All along the way, she, of course, said yes to God. She said yes to being baptized and confirmed as an adult. And if that was maybe the beginning of her saying yes to God, it certainly was nowhere near the end. You have read of some of the ways she said yes to God. If you're from Church of the Master, would you raise your hand so I can at least say thank you for being here and honoring that part of where she said yes to God, to be a charter member of a new church, to be the president along the way, to sing in the choir and the like. Always saying yes to God, what God asked her to do in 1 Thessalonians, which was simply pray without ceasing, including and especially for her family, but for all the people in her life. And then we got the privilege of having her with us for the last, 28 years, I guess, and continued to say yes to God in our preschool, in our choir too, in our prayer groups and was one of the first groups of Stephen ministers we trained here at Mount Cross. She said yes to people. That's pretty much the basic thing she did. Whether it was her family, her friends, her neighbors, her colleagues, the people that she knew at church, or the people that cared for her near the end of her life. Marjorie said yes. Now, to the outside observer, an outside observer outside the circle of our faith, one like that might say, well, yeah, she did all that so she could kind of bank on her eternal future, if you know what I mean. Ensure God's blessing and a good future. Those of us on the inside of the circle know it's just the opposite. Marjorie's yes was a response to the first yes that God said to her. She said yes to what it says in 1 John 4. We love because God first loved us. It's that simple. Her yes was an echo of God's. And she even knew that yes to be in full force in her life, even if on her side the yes was weak or maybe not even present. Years ago at Mount Cross, we did a workshop to help people do some advanced planning for the sake of their families when this time came. And in a little questionnaire that was prepared for the day, they were asked to record some of the ways they've seen God at work in their lives. And in that little questionnaire, Marjorie wrote, God was watching over me and my children when I wasn't necessarily in touch with him. God kept saying yes to Marjorie. And we hear God saying that yes most clearly in Jesus. I hear that yes when I hear Jesus say, I have said all these things to you that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. So I hope you hear Marjorie asking you to join her in saying yes. That's what you wanted most of all for this day. Not for it to be a day of sorrow. There are tears, but not sorrow. But a day for everyone to join in the joy of saying yes to the joy, say yes to the joy that God offers us in Christ. A joy that has begun already and for Marjorie continues on into eternal life. For in Christ, every one of God's promises is a yes. For this reason, it is through him that we say the Amen to the glory of God. Amen. I invite you to turn to the Red Book again, hymn number 856, How Great Thou Art.
Thank you.
Before you put the books away, turn in the front to page 282, page 282, where we will continue the service with the Creed and the prayers of intercession. Page 282 in the front. So with the whole church on earth, let us confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, in holy baptism, you have knit your chosen people together into one communion of saints in the body of Christ. Give to your whole church in heaven and on earth your light and your peace. God of mercy, hear our prayer. Grant that all who have been baptized into Christ's death and resurrection may die to sin and rise to share the new life in Christ. God of mercy, hear our prayer. Give courage and faith to all who mourn, and a sure and certain hope in your loving care. Casting all sorrow on you, they may have strength for the days ahead. God of mercy, hear our prayer. Grant to us who are still in our pilgrimage and who walk as yet by faith, that where this world groans in grief and pain, your Holy Spirit may lead us to bear witness to your light and your life. God of mercy, hear our prayer. Help us in the midst of things we may not understand to believe and trust in the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection to life everlasting. God of mercy, hear our prayer. God of all grace, we give you thanks because by his death, our Savior Jesus Christ destroyed the power of death, and by his resurrection, he opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. Make us certain that because he lives, we shall live also, and that neither death nor life, nor things present nor things to come will be able to separate us from your love in Christ Jesus our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Remembering the way he taught us, together we pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us commend Marjorie Jean to the mercy of Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer. Into your hands, O merciful Savior, we commend your servant Marjorie. Acknowledge, we humbly beseech you, a sheep of your own fold, a lamb of your own flock, a sinner of your own redeeming. Receive her into the arms of your mercy, into the blessed rest of everlasting peace, and into the glorious company of the saints in light. Amen. I invite you to stand for the blessing and our sending song. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. We'll conclude with hymn number 785, When Peace Like a River. We go in peace in the name of Christ.